Well, you ready to go here? We'll just have some fun. What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? What do you say? Okay?
Probably too much.
You can never have too much.
We are listener supported. One Radio Network.
Yeah, it's probably not possible to have too much fun, but maybe, I don't know. Well, good morning. It is Wednesday, September 25, and this day we affectionately call from time to time Tinfoil Hat Wednesday. Yep. Hair-raising adventures. Sharon made that cool little graphic on the front page. This rabbit. We just laugh every time I see that. It's just so cute. But it's hair-raising adventures. And we have a good hair raiser today who's a really interesting fellow. One of the more interesting people I've run across. And wouldn't you know that he's a cohort, friend, associate, longtime friend of Adam Bergstrom, who has probably one of the more unique, interesting, beautiful minds this side of the Mahangahela River. Great researcher, Adam Bergstrom, who's on the show twice a month. Yeah, he's a rock star. He's on the first and the third Wednesday, Monday. So, the Masseys will be here tomorrow, but if you care to join us, Steve Shiver, Dr. Steve Shiver, chiropractor, is on the show this morning, and we're just going to grow ourselves around a new reality. Some of the things we might talk to, he's had a few up-close and personal encounters with other than earthly beings, and not the IRS or the FBI, but actual aliens. He played around with psychedelics a few years ago. We might chat about that. Also, silver mind control, he knows about that. He knows a lot of stuff about a lot of stuff, and he's been a chiropractor for a very long time, about 40 years. He is in Arkansas now, where he mentored early on with Don Olay, Swami Nitty Gritty, Adam's main squeeze teacher, George Goodhart, applied kinesiology, Alan Bear Dahl, clinical kinesiology, diplomats in clinical neurology, acupuncture, clinical nutrition. He trained in Europe on German acupuncture, electronic homeopathic diagnosis and therapy. Whoa, the whole bowl thing. And he's just, other than that, he just really thinks outside the box. And we talk every now and then, becoming kind of buds over the phone. Never met him yet. Dr. Steve Shiver, good morning. How are things in Arkansas?
Greetings, earthlings and other listeners.
and other people. Do you have you guys have Bigfoot up there in Arkansas? Any?
Oh yes, they have them. Mm-hmm. Yep, they're everywhere. And you know, to add the tin foil to it, one of the fellows I met, because they had the UFO conferences and Uri thing nearby, that they come and go ethereal, and they're connected to the alien craft. That's why they're so hard to find.
so they really do exist. I mean, this is not just.
It's part of the ancient lore here.
Oh, yes. Really? Oh, cool. Have you seen one?
No, that I know of.
Yeah, well, probably some bars up there near that you could probably find a few, but we won't talk about that. Wait, what city are you nearest to up there in the woods?
I would say Eureka Springs.
Ah, boy.
Or Berryville.
Uh-huh.
I don't know which way you want to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, beautiful, beautiful part of the world up there, folks, if you've never been.
It is, but it's dangerously rough, and it's killing off the people that are struggling to survive here.
Really? What do you mean?
It's rough. The farmers, the hay, the loggers, the assembly line workers, Tyson, Kicken, I see these people. And my own life, you know, it beat the snot out of me, my family. So, you know, that's paradise can be... It's nature.
Yeah. So,
it's beautiful. It really is.
Oh,
that helps heal to deal with life stresses.
Mm-hmm. So there's a real competitive thing for jobs up that part of the world, of people working?
Well, it's actually kind of a growing situation, but out in the more wilderness where it's rural and, you know, the beauty is, you're a long way, you're a tough way to get food, to get jobs, if you're not creating your own with your own farm or chicken home and
sure.
things like that.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, so I know so many people that I was taking care of, but they ended up overstressed and stroke out and, you know, got to quit. But, hey, that's life.
Wow, stroke
how
out, boy.
How long do you have, and how do you want to go through it?
that seems to be one of the real black swans for so many people, especially, I guess, more men than women, maybe, or not. The stroke thing, you've seen a lot of it?
I would say the men tend to go quicker, but the women usually don't have the injuries of sports, fights, things like that,
mm-hmm.
accidents, you know, head down. But yeah, who knows? They're all vulnerable to it, and that's another thing. You don't think of the women having it, yet you read the news and say, oh yeah, doc, you better, you know, don't ignore her symptoms.
Yeah. One of my dear friends left his body in January. I've known for 25 years. He did the Money Show, you know, Andrew Goss. I know. And, you know, he had high blood pressure that he really, you know, he just wouldn't really, and that's pretty much it, Steve, but just one day, Sunday morning, he just fell on the floor, brain aneurysm, and he never regained consciousness. Just never.
You know, what a way to go.
Yeah, fast, boy. Boom.
Yeah, what a way to go.
Yeah, and I thought to myself, I knew Andy so well that there was no way that he would have wanted to be like, you know, half a guy just not being able to move. You know what I'm saying?
You know. I see patients that I've seen a couple decades, and, you know, it's aches and pains, and logs, the bull got them, da-da-da-da, you know, but they don't respond the next visit as much or something, and it turns out they've got a tumor or a big infection, you know, and I missed it. The hospital missed it until they, you know, have a flare-up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Is there top-of-the-line causes that you, with all your research, plays into what we call a stroke, quote-unquote stroke?
Well, yeah, that goes back to this chiropractic stuff, and I didn't start out, you know, believing it. I've kind of been forced by results and research into what I'm going to lay out, but generally there's, what's the difference between two people, brother, sister, you know, the same town, same house, neighbors, the same job, one's getting a heart attack, stroke, and the other's just cooking on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it turns out they find there's decay at the nerve level in the spine, one place or another, that's affecting the nerve supply, which is the immune system, neurotransmitters to a particular tissue or organ. There's a weak spot, so what should be kicked out, ignored, encapsulated, becomes a focus that can become a tumor, an infection, a decay, or, you know, like diabetes and this and that. So, yeah, primary cause is the upper brain stem irritating the nervous system to add to a sclerosing inflammatory response out of control, brain or heart. It's the cardiovascular.
Interesting.
Where that comes from. So it's back to the nerves.
Yeah. So that's,
then you may have a radiation explosion.
Mm-hmm. So that what you've just said is a real classic primer of the whole principle of B.J. Palmer and the chiropractic, that this upper brainstem thing, the mouth of God, that you talk about with stretching and upper cervical work, it could be the mother lobe. I mean, it could be like the cause of everything on a physiological level.
The last little thought of that to me was like, was the dental stuff. I just came on. I couldn't find the reference again. They found a neurological cause in the nerve supply to the teeth come out of the neck and the brain stem. And they're saying, these nerves are causing the problems with the circulation, the immune system, the remineralization, and then these little boogers just get ahead of you and you get gingivitis and more cavities. So I'm like, what? Because we're thinking, you know, fillings, infections, but, you know, this university study, these guys, man, there's a neurological component to this stuff.
Yeah.
Why one side, not the other?
Yeah. So your contention is that there's a neurological probably to everything.
Yes, sir, there is.
Yeah. Wow.
Look at hypnosis. You know, you can stick a spike through people's arms or put out a cigarette, doesn't leave a mark. Well, it's the mind over matter in a way.
Sure.
Placebo and nocebo. But, you know, that's only one factor, but the common denominator, you know, what affects the nervous system, shit, everything.
So
that's number one. But you can poison it, starve it, shock it. So all the other factors of your vendors and health and that, you know, all play into it. And then a comet could just hit.
Then a comet. What? Doc?
Yes?
Are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, I thought you said a comet just hit that we had to end the show.
I said, and then all your things doing well, and a comet could smack us.
Oh, yeah. Then an elephant could sit on your house, of course. Yeah. What is
it does at times.
You know what I'm saying? An elephant could come and just sit on your place. What is, what's your opinion, or just a little rundown of the different upper cervical approaches that are out there? We're familiar with several, and I'm sure you have more. Let's see, knee, chest, upper cervical, the nuca, and then there's also Atlas, Oreganthal, or what? You know.
Orthogonal.
Yeah, orthogonal. Do they all work good?
Yes, or the people wouldn't make a living performing it, and there's other ones where they're just treating you by light thumb pressure or a spring-loaded probe, just touching it at the fold, gluteal fold, or, you know, next to your coccyx. There's others that are just using the pulses of your finger. I've seen it work miracles. You know, and sometimes it's just mere suggestion. Think of what the, you know.
Yeah.
That. So, good luck. the most probably predictable might be the chiropractic biophysics or the Pettibon. They take an x-ray, the bone's off to the left and back, so they push it to the right and forward, you know, and then they set you up with traction to the right and forward, you know, you kind of regrow it. But I'm just in awe of all the different systems. So,
now you're a big proponent of it, how we originally talk to you, and then I've been doing it ever since because I try stuff, is this neck stretching. And Dr. Steve is a real fan of just stretching out the neck and working on this upper cervical at home. Talk a little bit about that for folks, new listeners who never heard you before. Is there a classic name, or is it just making your neck longer, bigger?
There's a handful of names. Basically, it's your neck stretching, your ligaments hold your joints and things together. Old injuries, bad posture, state of mind. You know, you sag down, gravity gets us, and you get the wear and tear of the joints and all, kind of like calluses on your hands or feet. If they get big enough, they start pushing into the blood vessels, which makes the deep, dull, you know, choked off blood flow ache. Or you actually get a poke into it. It's like electricity, it goes numb. Those kind of, which can, depending on your state of mind and the splashes of stress, it can spike, like if you've ever, oh golly, you know, have a surprise. Well, that can be your heart going, or you fall on the floor like your friend and you never wake up again. But what's at the base of it, more, you know, the nutrition and so forth, seems to be this mechanical nerve irritation. Anywho, the basic is there's many ways of lengthening the neck, stretching it back. Sometimes there's a benefit to turn your head one side or to the other, kind of unscrew the twists that life has put on you. And, you know, you can stretch things or test things or feel your nose or eyes clear. Gives you a little sense of which way you might improve it, but you're just on your own for the different, you know, wedges to lay on, air collars to pump up, harnesses that pull you. A lot of my patients just hang their head off of a bench or a bed.
Yeah. That's what I've been doing. I've been putting the Dakota wedge on a bench, so I have a whole lot more room to really get back there. And the Dakota wedge, folks, is a thing that Dr. Steve told us about. And you have to go through a chiropractor. They won't sell it to you. And I think it's like $45, and I just had a chiropractor friend of mine order one. But they're pretty cool. You can look at them on YouTube, and it's just a piece of foam.
There's the equivalent out there anyway. Basically, it's some sort of a support foam or an air bladder that your head hangs back, you know, against your neck, and a strap of some type or a weight that holds your neck back like that if you can tolerate. Just want to be real careful. You can overdo it. There's many people, you know, you wake up with an ache or a pain, or you don't remember what happened. Well, you stepped off a curb or yelled at somebody and it bumped the area. Well, it took some time for the sag factor swelling to show up. So if you overdo it, you can have a flare-up. If you do, well, you know, what to back off of it.
Yeah. So you can actually then do it on the side of your bed in the morning. Just lean over and just lean your head.
But our waking day, like right now, I'm kind of leaning back in the chair and I've got my fingers under my chin. Oh, I was lifting up. It kind of relieved I don't have any symptoms, but it popped up at the top of the skull, which I have a sense of clearing through my sinuses and vision. My gut just went a little happy sense in there instead of heart attack cramp. So you got to be lifting and stretching your neck through the day, too, to stay ahead of the game. But basically, it takes 20, 30 minutes of stretching joint ligaments and things to get enough slack in them that it stays slack and doesn't just spring back like a bungee cord.
So what we're really doing is lengthening the ligaments, strengthening them out slowly, day by day by day, so they won't pop back in and you're not leaning.
Yeah, you actually grow it that way, sort of like braces. You don't have to do the therapy all the time, but once in a while you still need to maybe use a retainer. But once you've gone through that few seasons or more of it, you know, they've kind of grown that way. So you've built in the reserves again. But life's constantly working down, so you better keep your boat bailed for the next big wave to go over while you're loaded with cargo and gear and your buddies.
That's right. Just be prepared. Okay, stay right there. Steve Shiver is with us, Dr. Steve Shiver. We have a lot of fun things we're going to talk about. He's been a chiropractor for about 40 years or so. So any kind of questions or comments, you can join the fun. Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com, or use the telephone. It is 888-663-6386. Email Patrick at OneRadioNetwork.com. We're closer to doing the video thing. I have a scheduled appointment with my video geek, 2 o'clock, and we're going to start going over the software that he's teaching me to do this thing. We have all the hardware in place, and we have some lights and a separate computer for the video and getting our bandwidth speed up a little bit. And the only reason I thought about it now is because I was about to take a nice big dropper full of pure potency pine pollen. And with video, I'm going to be able to show you the bottle and do the thing right on the air. And boy, this is like, man, this is like my favorite thing. So you take a big dropper full. This thing is almost a full dropper and it's a tall bottle. I'm going to hold it on my tongue while you do this. Previously with Peter Ragnar, who's a great example of staying young and healthy, we asked him what kinds of things he takes.
Personally, for myself, I look at all of the supplements that help bolster and harmonize my hormones. And, you know, this is both for men and for women. And when you go online, there's so much information about that out there. I heard on one of your advertisements there, Patrick, about the pine pollen. I personally take pine pollen, which I think it's an amazing product, has an amazing effect upon the body.
Peter, it's one of our favorites, too. Pine pollen, any of these are Thrival Links. You have the pine pollen pure potency, pine pollen gold, and if you'd like to get it every month, the auto ship is the best price. Also, Stephen Buhner's book, exclusively on pine pollen, is right there on the site too, Daniel's site, right here on OneRadioNetwork.com. Yeah, I've been doing the pine pollen probably, 10 years or so, pretty much all regularly, and it's played a huge role and keep me my little body happy and sparkly. It's a wonderful product, one of the nicest, most natural forms of testosterone you can get. And then if you kind of double up and put it with the elk velvet antler, you really have a 1-2 punch. I haven't done the elk velvet as much. I don't know why, but you know. But if you got it in your budget, guys, I would just do both like every day till you can't. Previously with Stephanie Seneff. PhD, research scientist with MIT on her work with glyphosates, GMO, and sulfur.
I know you really care about sulfur, and so do I. You know, I really think sulfur is crucial for health and that we have a massive problem with sulfur deficiency in this country. One of the proteins that I found that is disrupted by glyphosate, because it has an essential glycine, is sulfotransferase. That's a protein that moves sulfate from one molecule to another, but it's really, really important to be able to do that.
And why wouldn't it be able to do it? Because the glyphosate disrupts the natural sulfur cycle in our body?
The cell won't be able to defend itself with sulfate if it can't put the sulfate there. And of course, glyphosate chelates sulfurs.
A perfect storm in the challenges department, perhaps, but we're getting creative. So we know that we've been low on sulfur for years because of the chemical fertilizers, and now the GMO thing, which is disrupting the sulfur cycle. And we know with sufficient amounts of sulfur in the body, it's the natural way that the body gets these heavy metals, for example, mercury and mercury sulfate, out of the body if we have enough sulfur. Click and order sulfur today on OneRadioNetwork.com. It's amazing. Every time I hear that commercial from Stephanie MIT, that the glyphosates chelate sulfur and other minerals out of the body. Woo! See, that's what it does to the plants. It takes all it so the plants cannot uptake minerals and they die. You know, the weeds. That's what it's used for. It does the same thing in our body. So it's pretty tough to keep away from GMOs. I mean, unless you just totally eat at home, totally organic, and do the best you can. So. Probably a good idea to try some. If you'd like to get more than 4 pounds, and a lot of people do with a discount, just email me, patrick@oneradionetwork.com. It's beginning to look a lot like fall. And if you'd like to look at our Relaxed Far Infrared Sauna, you can look on the front page and you see the cool little ad there with the lady and seeing that she's lost about 4 inches. You sit in the sauna with a nice chair that comes with it. It'll get to about 160, 170. Many people contend Rhonda Patrick, a doc, that it's one of the coolest things ever for your heart with the heat shock proteins. Keeps Mr. Heart happy. And of course, the detox out of the body is just huge. You'll really sweat and you have the far infrared rays. You get it for $9.95. Just email me and I'll hook you up. $9.95, the Relax Far Infrared Sauna if you're in the lower 48.
We talk about your health, wealth, and well-being on OneRadioNetwork.com.
Chiropractor Bon Vivant, Man About Town, raconteur Steve Shiver, and Dr. Steve Shiver in Northwest Arkansas. Well, Doc, nice to talk to you. It's been a while since we've had on the show. I mean, what have you been doing lately up there? How do you spend your time?
I'm dismantling my life and getting rid of possessions and deciding on which lifetime projects to give away or part out or trash.
Good for you. That's great.
So, you know, I'm looking for a new vision.
Yeah, well, you're just a kid. You might as well just do something.
Well, I'm healthy enough to go water skiing, scuba diving, climb sailboat masts. You were mentioned learning a video program. I've been dwelling on these sail cruiser bloggers, usually couples but solo people and all sorts. But oh my gosh, you know, I'm trying, what's the common denominator? They're all seeking novelty.
Novelty.
They're all seeking novelty to distract them from what's considered an ordinary locked-in rut of a life.
Well, since it's time
to put at wit's end, how are we going to get out of this situation or afford that fix or,
Since it's Tinfoil Hat Wednesday, and I had asked you off the air, and you said, oh, yeah, I got a few stuff we could chat about. Do you think there is, put it this way, what do you think the benefit it could be for in the years moving forward that some of us humans have some real contact with these other than earthly guys? You think we have things to learn from them?
Well, on my scope of it, are we talking the entities that you run into with particular chemical substances or plants, the entities associated with a flock of birds or trees, you know, an area, versus, you know, outside influences that, you know, genetically manipulated us in between Earth wipeout catastrophe.
Yeah. Let's do the other outside influences, kind of like the, you know, close encounters of a third kind of thing. You know,
Well, after the psychedelic realms, you're just not that interested in even that stuff's kind of like playing. So what? You know, seems like nothing but a bunch of pirates out to get their own advantage, or just entertained onlooking, but none of them have much care about us. Even though I go many of stories, and even myself, you might say, the messages, attitude, insights you get from other intelligences are uplifting. Mm-hmm. Tesla interview said how he developed the rotating magnetic field and AC current was he got bored trying to imagine stuff around his home and stuff, so he started making, projecting his mind to the moon, and in Venus he happened to get a mentor that explained the physics of it.
Mm-hmm.
Boom, he says, I got it from my Venus mentor.
Very interesting. One of my teachers, Paul Twitchell, he remembers past lives on Venus. I think the capital of Venus, he said, is a place called Retz, R-E-I-T-Z, but there's certainly people up there, for sure. Or, I don't know if they're people, there's something.
I don't know myself. I do know that everything's recorded, so is it past civilizations that we're tapping into the video recordings that we can envision it as being, you know, current time, or is it just something our brains are making an input from, and then we are assuming it's an intelligence rather than our own inner thoughts?
Probably all of the above. I don't know. Yeah, we'll see for sure. We'll see. But since we're all connected, I mean, it's probably all of the above, separate and still unique, just like you and me. Separate, but also connected.
Maybe. Well, we all have an origin in the physics, and there seems to be a shared consciousness of life, even if you're not aware of it,
mm-hmm.
you know, on the surface. So, of course, and that's been shown by many people. One of the life-changing books I read was The Secret Life of Plants.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, where they started with the lie detector, Cleve Baxter. But one that blew my mind is that the Russians took rabbit pups out 3,000 miles away, 3,000 feet deep, and they kept the mother in Moscow with atomic clocks. They chopped the heads off the pups in the submarine. The mother's biology reacted faster than light or radio waves could travel. So, you know, we know there's faster than light communications with life. Is that, but, you know, yeah. How does that change our lives knowing about it?
Yeah. Well, there's certainly no secrets. You know, I find it interesting, Doc, that all of the physical contraptions in the technology is kind of doing what we do anyway, is know everything about everybody, in my opinion, on the spiritual level. And now, you know, now the technology is just showing us how they can do it too, how they're doing it on the, you know, the physical stuff. That makes sense.
Well, you're kind of talking about what, artificial intelligence?
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And, you know, all this, you know, that, you know, now with the 5G, there's going to be a big, probably a human brain that they're going to have everything that we've ever, ever been to or whatever. But
that's the information intrusion part of it, but that's also a frequency that resonates with the biological signaling, the expression of genes.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one of the concerns about it. But, yeah, you know, our lives are an open book if you are using credit cards and got your Social Security and name, date, and Social Security number. Anybody can find anything if they want to pay for it.
And I guess my point was just bringing it up. I think, my opinion, that we are that way anyway, an open book, because everything, in my opinion, that we've thought and felt for somebody, and they know it on a spiritual level, whether it's love or dislike.
Well, the 5G comes under what's called millimeter wavelength, and in the 70s they published experiments and proposals that they could monitor brain waves. That's how they would project voices and images, with microwave.
Ooh, ooh.
Okay. Yeah, so here it is. But there,
yeah.
That's kind of the, what's the future like into the world? And, you know, some propose that artificial intelligence, probably, you know, the most wasteful thing going on here is the damn humans. Let's just knock them back and carry on our own now.
That's right. Yeah, get rid of a few of them. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, there's been some concerns voiced here on this station from other people, not just the detrimental effects from the physiological idea, or like Dr. Martin Paul, a professor out of the Northwest, who talks, he's been on the show twice, but also then the idea that people, this could be used to plant voices and stuff in our minds and our brains, and pretty weird.
Yeah, so on a more practical retirement level, you know, you might want to study private trust foundations or offshore, you know, banking type things. There's plenty of guys out there,
mm-hmm.
You know, and have a kind of a hidden identity or business. You know, you've got your up front, you're buying groceries and gas, but, you know, you don't want to own property in your name, things like that, trust type situations. So just throw that out to people.
Lots of options, isn't there, to kind of keep under the radar?
Yes, sir.
Here's an email for you. In lieu of the Dakota wedge, I sometimes sit on an inflatable exercise ball, then roll forward, allowing my back and then shoulders and head to rest on the ball. I stretch my arms back so that I am in a back bend position with my head slightly dangling off the ball. This seems to open up the shoulders and stretch back the natural curve of my neck. What do you think?
I think that's an excellent thing to do, and it speaks on how healthy you are already to be able to tolerate
to
it.
To do all that, yeah. Yeah,
yeah. Continue on, yes.
Continue well, on.
I don't know if I could hardly tolerate that for a few minutes before I'd start me tightening up with a pressure sense. I'm so, yeah, that's perfect.
You had a lot of injuries, huh, in your young youth.
I was had like a broken, you can't really break a baby's neck, it's just gristle, but yeah, I had my neck pulled out with forceps, so I remember the birth process.
Whoa.
3 years of dying, life was nothing but pain, and you're too weak and stupid to know how to kill yourself.
You remember that process?
Yes, I do.
Wow.
So it's part of my life's, what do they say, life's the beach and then you die?
Then you die, yeah, yeah.
Well, I've had a wonderful life, okay, oh my gosh, but it's had too many intervals of suicide.
Hmm, a lot of stuff.
And to some degree, that's back to, you know, one of my best buddies just finally did a heroic dose of ayahuasca, which is the DMT,
mm-hmm.
that he died. It scared the hell out of him. He even freaked out the shaman and all, but he died. Then he called me the next day. I did it again, even a bigger dose, and I killed off the rest of me. I'm so free. I love it. And they're driving to another meeting on politics and litigation. So, yeah, I've killed my old self, bad genetics and injury off a number of times.
So when you were just a little tyke, did you remember the birth thing even then? Or did it come back later on?
It was current shock. So it's an ongoing background that you really don't want to pay much attention to. And you don't remember the words and stuff. It's just that it's kind of like if you've been dived into a pool or hit the bottom and it's all this rigmarole. Your senses aren't organized enough. Yet, like Scientology and other, your nervous system records it. As I got older and saw different other things, I went, oh, well, that's what that was.
Oh, I see.
Okay. One of the things I did to get over my brother's surprise death, I smoked the salvia.
Salvia? Yeah, I've heard of that. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh. It kicked my butt. But it was such a horrific shock to me that it became as much the first thing on my mind as my brother, you know?
Mm-hmm.
it was not what I expected, and in a back-ass way, it kind of healed me, and I got on with it. Uh-huh. I haven't brought myself to the state that I could tolerate it again. Hmm. That was probably, 8 years ago.
So when you say the nervous system records it, what kind of things do we do to unrecord it or erase it or whatever the term would be?
I don't believe you can unerase it. It's just that you want to have it be stored in an intellectual way. So, yes, that happened, but it's not a subconscious biological reflex like a fish swimming mm-hmm. in a certain place where you had a fin bit off, all of a sudden, reflex out. You drive past the place where your best buddy died in an accident or, that sort of thing.
Mm.
The same music is playing when you went through your divorce. Well, if you bring it up to consciousness, you can filter it. It's not mm-hmm. no longer a biological command,
yeah.
and it's not being re-stimulated by life in general, so it's just a memory at that point.
Right, so once we're conscious of it, then the power of it goes away.
That's the idea.
That's why people went through this rebirthing thing. Remember when that was big years ago?
Oh, boy, do I. And a lot of benefits and stuff. So.
Oh, did you? Yeah. Well, I did it just a couple times. I didn't get much out of it, except somebody tried to put a diaper on me, so I didn't want to do it. Just kidding.
No, I didn't get that deep into it. In fact, I hurt myself before I fixed my neck by all that heavy breathing. I kept pounding my neck. I didn't realize it, but tension. Mm. Anyway, it almost cut me in half through my ribs, diaphragm. Oh, my gosh. So I beat my spinal cord up thinking those little bumps and tightness. So you need to be a little careful, which includes the stretching, work up into it. And yet, it did seem to, benefit people, but I think there's easier ways.
Yeah.
Well, but it's in line with the yoga pranayama.
Yoga pranayama.
Yes, sir. And, that's the merging of the conscious and subconscious. You fall asleep, get knocked out. Unless you're dead, you're still breathing, but you ain't aware of it. Yet you can sing, talk, speak, hold mm-hmm. breath. So it's where the conscious-subconscious merges through that phrenic nerve, which goes right back to C3 in the neck.
Oh, that's where it is?
Yep.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it's spread out to where it comes out of the neck, three, four, five, three, mm-hmm. right in the middle, basically.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's where the ligaments, the liner of the tube that the spinal cord runs to, is attached like a webbing in the brain, but at that last opening, the foramen magnum, and then it goes down C1, C2, C3. It attaches kind of like the neck of an hourglass at C3, so that's where it's being tugged on. Then it's loose all the way down to your coccyx. So, there's the bottleneck, literally.
Wow, it's fascinating. Pretty interesting. That's where really chiropractic started, right? In the upper cervical?
Well, we don't really know, but the first actually the chiropractic started back with Chiro and Hippocrates. Chiro was his teacher of Hippocrates, and Chiro made his fame as what's called a spinal practitioner working on the spine.
Uh-huh.
But D.D. Palmer really started out with mesmerism, laying on the hands or just wave your hands, magnetic thing. But a black janitor laborer came into his office one day, was deaf. He felt around, supposedly in the upper back, felt one of the vertebrae out and used the leverage to push it back in. It clicked. The guy gets up. Oh, I hear the carriages on the second story below. I had hurt my back shoveling a ditch. I felt something go on my back, and I went deaf. So that was the first, oh, my goodness, what's going on here? But it soon developed into, we were the first ones to use x-rays, chiropractic, and introduced almost all the physical therapies that are, standard and famous. But it became for the Spanish flu, polio, and cardiovascular, heart, chest, those kind of things for the first 3 decades. It didn't have much to do with aches and pains and stress and strain. Yes,
so it was
sir.
Truly used as a medicine, so to speak.
Yes, sir. Okay. And was taken aside by these 70, 80-year-old guys when I was studying with the naturopaths up in Oregon, and they were telling me doing this Gonstead type, hard thrust. I call it karate chiropractic. So much the people would just shudder, yet tumors would work their way to the surface and pop out. Another dramatic guy, he was having neck and shoulder, all kinds of stuff. They did that to him in the middle of the back and the neck and so on. And back in the days, they didn't have padded steering wheels. He had a head-on or something. And the steering wheel bruise with the spokes and all like that came out to the surface for 3 days and faded.
Man.
Recycling.
When they were doing the chiropractic for all those things you mentioned, what time period in history was that? When was that?
Well, the first chiropractic with Dave Palmer was 1895.
Okay, late 1800s, yeah.
Yeah, and then I would say the 20s, 30s, 40s that these guys were talking about in Oregon doing these kind of things, maybe the 50s too.
What's the safest... one of the safest kinds of exercise folks can do for, say, cardio?
Maybe that trampoline, you know, that little trampoline.
Little trampoline, yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, by keeping your feet in contact with it, although that was originally developed to treat autistic children. They'd have them do foot-by-foot marching, jumping jacks and stuff while they were repeating after a phrase, reading something on a chalkboard, or they'd put them right in front and they'd do one, and they'd actually write it while they're bouncing. 1 + 1 = 2 P-A-C, you know?
Really?
Yeah, so then the lymphatic pump, you know, part came up, and now the low-stress aerobic-type exercise use of it.
So that's a good one. Walking, I guess, is always good in your... when you're cross-crawling, kind of swinging your arms, right?
Yeah, you can outwalk any animal on the planet, and then swimming is another one.
Yeah, swimming's great.
It's speculated we're naked apes, even though we're not primates in a way, because we had an aquatic history.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think it all started, I don't know all of it, but I think we did, yeah.
Which brings me to one of my favorite T-shirts. You know, it shows this fish climbing out of the water. Then you got the small, you know, rat up through the apes.
Yeah.
And all of them have a thought bubble. Eat, survive, reproduce. And there's man standing up with a tool. And he's going, what's it all about?
That's great. Good visual there, Doc. I like that. What's it all about? Some people conjecture that, you know, the big crocodiles that were, you know, just eating people, like standing on, and that we humans lived up in the trees for a long time because they would just eat us.
Well, I'll tell you what, New Orleans in the early days, if it was a drunk and you fell asleep on the street, the crocodiles would come carry you off.
Yeah, I know that. But I lived in New Orleans for 3 years more.
You know, the life in nature is really not that friendly to us.
That's right. Crocodiles in South Louisiana. Whew. Oh, man. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, you got to be expending quite a lot of energy to beat off the fates and survive the hits.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, we run out of miracles.
Yeah. And they just keep getting more interesting, don't they, Doc, Steve? You know, just with all the technology stuff. It's just all the same kind of forces sometimes, I guess, trying to keep us here. Or I don't know what it is.
Well, this is tenfold. Subject, you know, the CIA remote viewing and Dr. Pressinger's research with the Tycho Tesla fields.
Right.
They're kind of like the aura, Akashic records, the same magnetic fields like the heart's generating in the brain. And well, that seems to be a communication medium, sort of like the carrier wave of a radio. And that's being blocked by a lot of the, especially like they found out, the Windows screen display is such broad spectrum. It doesn't have to be, but that's the way they're projecting it. People's ESP, intuition, things like that are blocked. The remote viewing was blocked if they had the screen in the way.
Really? It's a Windows 10 7 thing? It's a software?
The beginning. This research is done back in the 60s, 70s. When they first, you know, floppy disk and that. Yeah, the monitors. So
the monitors.
Remote viewing research. So whatever tech, it's been there. It's Microsoft.
Yeah.
And that was IBM with the PCs that took over what would have been a better programming from viewer screen. But, you know, they got the monopoly. It's gone from there.
Sure, yeah. So it's the actual screen itself that's been shown to kind of jiggle up our intuitive.
Yeah, the classic video, and it's actually attached, I think, on one of my blog things at your site. But anyway, Dr. President called No More Secret. It's about he's a professor, the 45-minute lecture to his class. He covers these things. It'll fill in some blanks, so when you're looking around the world and having experiences, you go, huh, maybe that's how it happened.
Yeah, maybe that's how it happened. Yeah. So some people have conjectured, and I think I heard you just allude to it, that you think other than earthly dudes have come in here somewhere way long ago and kind of messed with our little DNA just for fun?
You know, that seems to be the common denominator, best evidence of so many pathways merging to that conclusion.
Was it Zachariah Stitchens? Was he the dude that really talked about that, Zachariah Stitchens?
There was a handful of them, Von Donkin is probably the biggest proponent now. But yeah, Worlds in Collision and Ancient Aliens, Ancient Architects, things like that.
Oh, that stuff, yeah. So I'm
so widely read and on this, I'm somewhat dyslexic to pop the names up.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's those crop circle-like things out of stone in South Africa. They think there may be at least 10 million. Plus, if you really look at the sides of, you know, almost all of South, it's all been terraced, kind of like you see in Peru. And
right.
You know, and you're going, and they're finding stuff that looked like bones. I mean, it looked like just rocks and stuff. And they start to, oh, that's a part of the pelvis, and, that you know, finding giants and things like this. So they're dating that back to, like, 425,000 years ago. It's a big gold thing, you know, and then you get into the Sumerian texts and the Nibirus and whatever coming to get gold to protect their atmosphere and all, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, the mouth-breathing Anunnaki, we call them, right?
And the Archons.
Yeah.
And the Watchers listening in today.
You know what I watched the other night just for fun? It's been years. Was Close Encounters of the Third Kind, Steven Spielberg. What a great movie that was.
That was so enlivening. Don't you wish it was so?
I know, wasn't it?
Don't you wish it was so?
Wonderful. Man, I'd go in a heartbeat, wouldn't you? I'd go up there with him.
Well, yes, sir.
Would you? Yeah, I would.
Well, you see, you and I don't have family hanging us here.
That's true.
We don't have the attachments that others with their job, career, lovers, family, you know. So...
Well, let's not go that far, but Doodle, see, if I'd only go if I could take my girl Doodle with me, otherwise I wouldn't go.
Well,
but they'd probably let her go, you know, because they like dogs, right?
You know, I don't think I can have enough time to develop with another lifelong companion, so I'm kind of in the state, nothing left but, you know, shallow, short term.
Really?
All my close companions gone.
Yeah, so you had a bird, a macaw, for how long?
Oh, just this 30 years.
30 years.
Yeah, he'd ride on my motorcycle bars, or I'd kind of rally car on the gravel, and he'd vomit on the floor, and I thought I was upset, but then he'd look at me, he'd bob his head, and go, is it good? And then he'd line up like a surfer. Yeah, he was so happy he was offering me food. You know, I come home, and he goes, what's up, Doc? Yeah, he was a character.
Oh, that's great. 30 years. Is that a general lifespan for birds like
that? Oh, no, they live 60 to 100, and I expected them to outlive me. I was paring down on life here with a view to move to Panama, and I was fixing more drudgery, you know, living out in the woods, and I put them about 40 feet away on the driveway, you know, sidewalk in front of the house, to train him to be in public and come when I call him. I said, come here. And he just started marching his way up, one foot over the other, climbed up to the lounge chairs on the sidewalk, climbed back down, climbed up the three steps, and we have a house sign that sits on a big hunk of rock. He climbed up the rock, and when he got on the house side, 2 feet from me, you know, 8-10 inches off the porch I'm sitting on, the box with the number on plastic fell over, surprised him. He flew out 200 yards. I've had him do that, and I had to cut trees down before to get him. But anyway, he flew back a couple, we put the cage in the, he flew back behind the house the next day or two, and even tried to come down, but he was too afraid to fly down or whatever. And the guys that I tried to rescue that were going to cut trees down and stuff, didn't get there till the fifth day, and he was too dehydrated. He fell out of the tree. I recovered him, and he woke up enough to bite my finger hanging on and, you know, stand up and, you know, respond and open his wing. But he was so in shock and all, he wouldn't drink and all, and about 20 minutes later, he curled up and died in my hands.
Oh, my God. What is...
But, you know, everybody has to face that.
Yeah, it just happens, doesn't it, with people we love and souls we love. Wow, what a story. 30 years.
Yeah, I expected to move to Panama and be a, you know, a site that everybody would, you know, break the ice with this bird. Who'd ride on people's shoulders on handlebars across pastures and, you know, hippie musical festivals all night long and stuff. That, you know, some bar, lounge, hotel, after I died, would end up with him because he's such an attractive, easy to take care of, and he's safe. He knew who he was. He wouldn't hurt a toddler, you know, pounding on him or jerking his feathers.
Mm-hmm.
Walk, that's about it.
Yeah. Do you think he sensed that you might be moving and possible that, but you knew you were going to take him with you. It wasn't gonna, like you were going to leave him.
Well, yeah, but I was, you know, looking into the logistics and legal things of bringing in
a bird,
bird to Panama or wherever, so it wouldn't be right away. But yeah, those parks, you've got to have equipment, saws and chains, or people hired to, you know, clear the pathway or fix the washout or tree fall, you know, so I'm kind of tired of it.
Yeah, well, I'm sure there'd be a good spot.
Electricity and appliances.
I understand.
So if I'm an expert in anything besides neurology, it's, you know, weird, you know, touchy British motorcycles and specking out their clearances and ring gaps, whether it's, you know, nitrous oxide injected or just low-octane gas.
I got a little email for Dr. Steve Shiver. He's with us this morning, OneRadioNetwork.com, September 25, 2019. And we'll do a couple emails and have some more fun right there. This is a very fascinating thing that came our way, I guess, maybe 2 months ago. It was George Weissman, and we found out about Brown's gas and breathing hydrogen and then also putting it in the water. And we got all kind of juiced up about it and had him on the show. And before you know it, I was, man, I want to save up my money and get one of these guys. And you all bought some, and we earned some commission, so we were able to buy one, and they're just really cool. I think there's a great deal to this technology. I know it is, because I can feel it. My sleep has been demonstrably improved over the past couple months, even though I got some ways to go, and I just feel more comfortable in my body, and I think that's because it is very, very, very good on lowering inflammation. So that's why I just feel more comfortable hanging out in this body. And it's actually makes that easier to leave it too at night, if that makes sense, once you're more comfortable into relaxing into it. So those are the two things I know so far. This is a long-term thing. It's a great investment. George Weissman talks about all kinds of things that has gone on with him, from a heart murmur that left to neuropathy in his feet. And Dr. Circus talks about he had neuropathy in his feet forever, almost, and it just went away after a year or so on the hydrogen. Just depends on, you know, but you're gonna be getting results all the time, because this is, well, here's one of the things it does here. Did you know the AquaCure Brown's Gas Machine reduces oxidative stress?
Hydrogen is the world's best antioxidant by a long shot.
Hmm.
First of all, it's 700 times smaller than something like CoQ10, 400 times smaller than vitamin C, things like that. So it can literally go, the hydrogen molecule can literally go through everything in your body and go right into the very DNA and repair it. First of all, you're repairing oxidative damage, but you're also reducing or eliminating free radicals. Now, we're only the bad free radicals, which is another reason why hydrogen is good, because you actually have free radicals in your body that you want to keep. Example, nitrous oxide.
The oxidative stress, is that the main thing that damages the DNA and causes the regeneration to stop, you know, youthing or getting older, immune organs? Is that at the base, George Weissman, of most of the issues?
It's one of the
just
bases,
one of them.
But this comes back to that regeneration thing that I was talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The cells won't regenerate. You won't have stem cells and that sort of thing if you haven't got enough hydrogen.
And if our body is not generating enough hydrogen, we get dehydrated. Dehydrated. Lack of hydrogen. The AquaCure machine, 10% off, promo code OneRadio. Use the promo code OneRadio, 10% off in our store, OneRadioNetwork.com. Another thing that I've noticed, too, is I'm beginning to have a more desire for water because I'm drinking the hydrogen water, and it actually tastes really good, and I've noticed that. That's, yeah, it's just really curious what's going on. I think the hydration is just really cool when you think about that. Dehydration, that's where it comes from. Lack of hydrogen. Previously, we were talking with Dr. Rulin Shu, and I had a question about our Pearlseum. Pearlseum is not just calcium, right? It's calcium and minerals and proteins?
Yes. So the Pearlseum, the pearl, inside the pearl, there's, so of course, big part of it is calcium. But more importantly, this pearl contains all kinds of trace minerals, potassium, magnesium, zinc, selenium, and also all kind of trace minerals, proteins, amino acids, polysaccharides. So it is, it's actually have a very balanced matrix of nutrients for the calcium metabolism. And in fact, they have research discovered that the pearl, the mechanism, you know, the DNA that's in charge of making the pearl is very similar to the human DNA that in charge of calcium metabolism.
Yes, getting really good calcium in just the right spot, in the bones, that's where we need it, is a challenge. But this is a great product, and it does that. And that's just one of the many benefits. Brush your teeth with it. It's the most amazing thing for teeth you've ever seen. They will look pearly white. Pearlseum, click and order right on the front page of OneRadioNetwork.com. That's the main use for it, is brushing your teeth, but you can take it internally. I've been doing spoonfuls and you just kind of feel a little happy. And of course, the calcium plays a role in the ATP and the little energy bunnies as well. And last time we talked with Dr. Ray Peet, 83 Revolutions Around the Sun, very well researched. And we asked him about pearl, and he said that, and I think he said calcium carbonate. I'll have to re-listen, but that's the best calcium to get absorbed in the body in the right spot. Is the pearl. He said that on there. I'm going to make a little commercial from it. I am.
Nothing is more expensive than bad information. Know the source. OneRadioNetwork.com.
Deep in the heart of Northwest Arkansas, Dr. Steve Shiver, chiropractor, about 40 years or so. Where are some of the places that you actually had a practice and stayed for a few years?
Well, to practice at the level of functional medicine where you take on anything from cancer to heartbreak, I would have to be in a city with a staff of four or five that were trained for years, which is another nut to crack. I see some of these other famous doctors and so forth that got such a specialized, as they age out, you know, if it's their joy and hobby, they just keep going. But a lot of times, they're the star of the show, so if they're not around, who else can carry on that organization?
Sure, yeah. So what cities did you live in?
Texas, and then I came out to the Ozarks to collect my family together for a decade.
I see. Whereabouts in Texas were you?
Houston.
Houston,
Texas. The Galleria and Bel Air, you know,
sure.
Highfalutin.
Yeah.
I was driving around Jaguars and 6.9-liter Mercedes with radio telephone and
you
stereo.
Rascal. You rascal, really.
One of the high points from that time. 6.9 Mercedes when these Ferraris in rush hour traffic would be delivering in rush hour traffic, you know, coming from the airport to the you know, rich area to deliver the cars to the dealership, and they'd zip, 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 and I'd just keep right up with them, so, you know, 100 miles an hour, and everybody else liked the car. Anyway, somebody had bought me a ticket to a psychic who was so well-known, I don't remember, that they had a freaking office in one of the banks or financial buildings.
Really?
Okay?
Really?
And so they gave me a ticket for a reading, and okay, fine, let's go. So I suited up a, you know, nose full of cocaine, smoked some really good pot, and I freaked and put some G-forces that push you back into the chair and up the seat type of thing, listen to, you know, 100-something decibel stereo. And when I got to his office and opened the door, he flew back in his chair, kind of like spraying with his eyes wide open. And I was, I'm your appointment on. He says, I've never seen an aura like that except in Thorazine injected, straight jacketed, tied down, full psychotic episodes. And I was freaking on top of my, you know, and I was having a good time.
You
all right.
Crazy guy, man. Woo! Wild and crazy guy, I tell you.
Right.
What.
Well, that gives you some flavor of my conscious episodes when I'm late to the rest.
I understand.
But yes, they're in Houston, and I had almost $500,000 a year practice for a while. But that's all I did was work for everybody else, and I was pretty, I was enjoying it, but it was a big nut to crack, and you know, had a spell of, you know, bad weather or something where you lost 2 or 3 days this month, and there goes your overhead. If I wanted to go anywhere, I had to run twice as fast because I had to keep everybody paying. And I, if I told patients I was leaving, they all would wait till you get back. If I hired a doctor and didn't tell everybody, they'd tell them, I'll wait till Shiver gets bound.
That's funny. Jeez. What do you, you had mentioned, you might want to tell folks a little bit about your experience with Silva Mind Control. I have no idea what that's about. Talk a little bit about that.
Several events I can mark my life before and after.
Right.
Yeah, and Silva Mind Control when I was about 21 is one of them. But basically, I'd given up looking around the world. Everybody's lying, cheating, stealing, be it church, government, banks, and I'm going, God damn it, I want to join them. I don't believe in, you know, God and any of that anymore. So they offered the course with a money back guarantee in Tallahassee. I was up taking chemistry major or something. Anyway, so my mind, I was already a criminal at that point. I says, you know, I'll get the use of the lesson and I'll complain to them and get my money back. $200. So I was living on an egg and maybe a peanut butter sandwich a day if I got that.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this is also how, where I met Byington, who introduced me to Adano, so it ties in. But anyway, they would teach you how to go into your alpha level, you know, picture a pleasant place, you know, count down to 10, so forth. Now, from that relaxing scenery, you're in the alpha, create your mental laboratory, and then your tools and stuff like that. And then from there, they would have you, project into materials or people's bodies or different times and places. They offered what I was interested in was they said you had better study habits, you could control your sleep and rest better, and your memory. So I was looking for that since I, by the way, during that time I did one of the first epigenetic studies on Rothbard-Kraspa, which is the mold, and it changed its genetics on what food it could feed on, depending on what temperature you cultured it in.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Stick with Silva for a minute. So it actually taught you how to project as soul somewhere else. We call soul.
Yeah, yes. Any time and place, and the basic scenario is that our nervous systems are aware or can receive all things at any time. It just depends on what you put your attention to and calibrating the symbols it will come through.
Mm-hmm.
So somebody looking over a normal person in their mind, a housewife that didn't have, you know, medical training, and they said, well, go look at this sample's liver. Here's your benchmark of what's normal. So if you ever see something different, you'll know there's a trouble there. And she said, oh, yeah, it's sliced liver, frying with nice onions. It smells wonderful. When she got her medical case, which, you know, you lay it on the floor in a pad or something, they put you down level. Here's a name. Here's a place, and that's it. Look, go scan them. And she says, oh, something's the matter with his liver. The onions are all burnt and dry. The liver seems, you know, burnt and all. Well, it turned out the guy had cirrhosis.
Wow.
So she was able to, and that's just one example, she was able to detect it, but she had to overlay a symbol for it, and fortunately she, through the class, was able to realize it was a symbol and didn't know the name of the disease, but she knew it was a disease.
That's pretty wild. Yeah.
So dreams are kind of like that.
Yeah.
Intuitions are kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
But the silver mind control gave you a tool and mechanism, which ties into a occult practice of visualization and focus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the good stuff happens in the theta brainwaves.
Theta?
Yeah, that's the heavy stuff.
So we have alpha, delta, theta?
And we have gamma.
Gamma, well.
Which, if you're excited and trying to bargain off something, or, you know, dodging bullshit in traffic, or, you know, office, you're in gamma, anxiety. That's the higher frequency.
Have you ever had the body fall asleep and you're conscious of it when it falls asleep?
Many times.
That's pretty trippy, isn't it?
I've had three occasions where I've investigated a series of flying dreams.
Yeah,
And it turned out that it was I was rubbing up against some blankets or some blinds or something like that, or the fan, and my body was putting a symbol of flying to interpret and make sense of the sensations. And I woke up and I'd look, oh, that's what it is. And I still had the sense of floating, so it was that entangled, you know, Schrodinger's cat. I was both aware of what was going on and still aware of the illusion.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, a lot of the psychedelic experiences, you know, have these fractal patterns and stuff like that. And being a physiologist and microscopist, I could tell, oh shit, that's a corpuscle going by. But it was like looking at it through an infinity mirror. You know, you see multiple repeats of the stuff and cycles. And I went, oh, those are the capillaries in front of your retina. Oh, that's the pulsing astrocytes supporting the brain. So you can put your attention in all these places, but most of it's your own sensory input being reinterpreted for whatever symbol or, you know, image.
Right, yeah.
Sound.
Yeah, I think, you know, I lost interest in the psychedelic stuff for me years, I mean, 50, 40 years ago. I just knew that it wasn't, I don't know, it's just, I think it's more with the brain and not with soul, in my opinion.
Well, you know, there can't be anything really new in the brain. It's only got its limited ways of doing.
Right,
some
right.
Chemicals may grease that or spike it, but you can do it yourself. Listen to the saint stories, the path that you're on.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And that brings us to, well, if you're disconnecting from your body and your senses, you know, what's afterwards? I'm a little disappointed in that one.
Well, you've probably just not... You're just probably looking for love in all the wrong spots so far, but you can go different places, you know.
I'm trained by Timothy Leary and Richard Albert, and Moody Blues thinking is the best way to travel. All right, so I've been through the Earth core, the eddy currents that are known as hell. These entities get trapped in these little eddy, magnetic eddy currents, which ties in with Plessinger's work.
Mm-hmm.
And then finally to get into the core of the Earth, which is kind of like wandering out into a river. The deeper it gets, the faster it goes. How strong a swimmer, conscious anchor are you to get to the pinch, or the Z-pinch, they call it, to get shot out without being swept back into the cycle on Earth again. Yeah, that'd take you to the moon, and then you could leap to the planets and into the core of the sun. And on one of the trips I did with Byington, in which we'd kind of start off as entering the cave of the ancients, so we'd take, you know, like the psilocybin, and we'd have an agreement to go meet in the cave, and then from there, we'd actually meet up. It'd be like going on a camping trip. But probably the most woo-woo was we got into the sun, which is kind of boring, but it's aware consciousness, but it don't give shit about us.
Okay, let's not use the S word, please.
It doesn't have an attention on us any more than we have an attention to the bacteria of our skin and gut, yet we depend on it.
Oh, the sun's just hanging out there.
Well, we picked up this trail of energy that looked like a drive from one of the saucer ships that we'd seen in the caves, and so we followed it, and it took us to the power supply, which is really neat. It's kind of like a mimic of the human chakra system. You got the two lower power things, and then you got the higher, smaller vibrations that directed. Anyway, we got into the power supplier looking at that, and then we detected the control vibrations. Well, that hooked us to the mind of the pilot. And we're all of a sudden, we're in this control room, kind of Star Trek-y idea. And for a few moments, it seemed, and we're going, oh, man, this is really interesting. But the pilot picked up our presence and swatted us out like we were bugs.
Oh, really?
And, well, all of a sudden, back, you know, in the room, still, you know, tripping, but we're fully awake going, ah, crap, you know?
Well, you know, all this fun stuff is fun and entertaining, but I would conjecture or just put out there that this is all lower world stuff, you know, you're involved in, which is not really too spiritual. It's just like going to a carnival.
You know, I can't really deny that.
That's right. No, it's okay. I just make it a, you know, comment from my perspective, yeah. We talk about, you mentioned chakras, and, you know, that's been kicked around that, gosh, you go to chakra movers and healers and move your chakras and change your chakras. Give us your experience of what these things really are.
Well, the systems I've been trained to have a whole bunch of ways of dealing with that, and one, diagnosing, and two, what do you do about it? But, you know, you've got the main nerve plexus of the brain stem.
Right.
The solar plexus, the sacral plexus, you know, and so forth, blankly. So you have a nerve complex, which is kind of like another brain. Then you have an endocrine organ, heart, thymus, thyroid, pituitary, spleen, adrenals, you know, ovaries, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
You have a hormonal thing, and you know how that controls our biological raging.
Baby.
Then, through that, you also have the sense of the concentrated energy fields. So you've got all these little fields, and they combine, sort of like crossing a road.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, they are associated with your level of consciousness, what you're putting your attention to.
Mm-hmm. So these are just energy, other than physical energy things, Steve, that are spinning or just kind of there, they're... The first chakra, second, third, blah, blah?
No, it's all physical.
It's all physical.
Yeah, sure. Just like the hydrogen, some of that's evaporating and flowing through there. But magnetic fields seem to be a big part of the communication system of the body. Those nerve clusters, hormone clusters, seem to be, I don't know, I guess the devices that create the energy field. And then depending on the environment or your own internal thing, you stimulate or suppress them.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I get that.
I am so trained and steeped in the spiritual practices, initiated a number of times, that really, you know, the best of them say start at your brow and go from there. Don't work your way through the lower chakras.
Yeah, well, that's on our path, too. Yeah, I said, you mess around with that, raising the spinal kundalini is just a waste of time, in my opinion. But that's just
me.
Well,
I've had that experience, too, and that's really dangerous, man. You can die, and you can kill things around you and hurt
the Oh, really?
Running clocks backwards and stuff.
I didn't realize it could be dangerous. I just thought it was more unproductive, but that's interesting.
You mean the kundalini?
Yeah, the kundalini thing, yeah.
Well, it's like having it's like having a spastic orgasm, being shocked. And if you're not in self-control or you're kind of crooked, that kind of shock can hit your spine or brain. Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, it can be, read the chakra stuff, man.
Yeah.
So, but then again, depending on what path you're on, that is the lower body, sensual, you know, power struggle type stuff. We'll start from your brow, eye, center, chakra, to the crown, and go from there.
Yeah.
According to, you know, the path you're on.
Mm-hmm.